Hisham, what is your text?
Okay, everybody.
All right, welcome everyone. Let's go ahead and find our seats and we will get started here. Hisham is going to be preaching tonight. He's going to be preaching from Daniel chapter 6. And we'll be looking at verses 16 through 28, and we'll look forward to that. And then we will sing some songs, and it'll be a good night. I don't know how many of you, I know a few of you are doing, have been kind of tracking with us on our daily devotional thing I've been doing called Devoted. That's going to happen tonight, but it will happen later. I tried to record today, and I had technical difficulties. And so I will be doing it later this evening, just so you're aware of it. Those of you who are, I hope you are tracking. Hope it's helpful for you. And I have had several people tell me that it is, so I'm thankful for that. Let's go ahead and open with a word of prayer, and then Hisham, you'll be on. Father, we come to you and thank you for who you are. We praise you because you are an awesome God who is all wise and displays your power over and over again through your word. And Lord, we have the privilege of being able to read and study and understand the book of Daniel and to see how you used a man to display your power. And this was a man who was living in a foreign land as a sojourner, very similarly to the way that you have called us to live. And I think of First Peter that says that we are to live as sojourners. We live in a foreign land ourselves. This world is not our home. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to see how you use Daniel so that we might understand how you might use us too in this world. And we praise you for who you are tonight. We pray that you'd help us to worship you in spirit and in truth this evening. And pray that you be with Hisham. Help them to be able to communicate clearly your word. Help our hearts and minds to be receptive to it. And we pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay.
And starting on verses 16 to 28, Pastor Brother Harry last week covered up to verse 18. But before we start, we really want to take a few minutes to think about the background. We want to think about what's happening so far in this chapter. Basically, in this remaining section of the chapter is the main point or the whole idea will revolve around faithfulness. God is faithful, but he also requires his servants to be faithful to him. So our title for the message today, God delivers those who faithfully worship him. So nowadays it's really hard to find a faithful friend. It is very rare. Not many of us can say, I have a faithful friend. Yes, there are some that would say that, but it is becoming fewer and fewer to find a faithful friend. So to the point that Shakespeare said, words are easy, like the wind. Faithful friends are hard to find. Every man will be thy friend, whilst thou hast wherewithin to spend. But if store of crowns be scant, no man will supply thy want. It is hard to find a faithful friend. However, it is of great comfort, therefore, to come to know the one who is ever faithful, God himself. is a man, his name is Thomas Kelly. He wrote a hymn. It says, "Trust in him, ye saints, forever. He is faithful, a changing never. Neither force nor guile can sever those he loves from him." So basically, we're going to talk about both sides, God and his servants, God and his righteous. God is faithful, and he requires his faithful, his righteous, to be faithful as well, to be able to, for God to use. So let me give you a little bit of a background of what we're going to read today. At the end of chapter 5, verse 31, we learn that Darius assumed the kingdom. The Mede, the Persian, Medo-Persian took over from the Babylonian, from Belshazzar. When Darius took over and he became a king, he was about 62 years old. He received this kingdom, and beginning of chapter 6, these incidents were about 1 to 2 years after he became king. And that basically puts us in history in year 539 to 537. So Daniel, at that time, you can, you know, looking up backward to Daniel 1 when the exile happens and the date, they came up with as a range of age for Daniel. Do you have a guess? Daniel was 80 pushing to 90 years of age. Old Daniel was still God's man. He was still a very useful vessel for God to use. And I say tonight to all our dear elderly saints who are listening, you are still useful for the Lord. Daniel was still the choice of the king, even in his old age, to make him a prime minister. The power of a virtuous life extends to an old age. So in the beginning of chapter 6, Darius fell in the traps of the satraps. Their names are satraps, so they set a trap. By signing the law of no man should petition anything from any god or any man other than the king. I was like, what's the purpose? Seriously. But the king is new. And there are those people who would take advantage of a new boss or a new, because this is what they do. The wicked world we live at, they take advantage. But this new king, he really had a good heart. He had a good eye. Who is faithful and who is not. He really have good respect for Daniel and his administrative skills. Commentaries speak so much about the administrative skills that Daniel had. He was a statesman. He was one of a very unique type politician. So our topic today is going to be God uses a faithful testimony to glorify himself. So before we continue, that God uses that faithful testimony of yours and mine to glorify himself. We want to find out in what ways. Well, number one, when we serve God faithfully, God will use us to impact other lives. When we serve God faithfully, and the word serve in many times it can be translated as worship. When our service for God is our worship, and our worship is our service, when we do this faithfully, when we walk faithfully with the Lord, he can use us to impact others. So, number one, in our text today, we're going to see that the impact of Daniel's faithful life on the king's life, that's verses 16 to 18. Daniel's faithful life impacts the king's life. And then from verses 19 to 20, we will see the impact of Daniel's faith on the king's faith. And then lastly, in that first section, we will see the impact of God's deliverance to his faithful is basically joyful news. Let's read together, starting on verse 16. So the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, "Your God, whom you serve continually, will deliver you." Then a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signet of the lords, that the purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed. Now the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting, and no musicians were brought before him. Also his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, "Daniel, servant of the living God, was your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions?" Then Daniel said to the king, "O king, live forever. My king, my God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you." Now the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him, because he believed in his God. The first thing is we need to look at is the impact of Daniel's life on the king's life. Our first point is basically, when we serve God faithfully, God will use us to impact other lives. And the first impact we see here is the impact of Daniel's life over the king's life. As you saw with me from verse 16, that Daniel was basically the one who was accused wrongly. And he was being in the process of being executed. But when we read verses 16, 17, 18, 19, we see that there is more focus on the king. The king signed, they brought the stone, they cast Daniel, signed it with his signet ring. Daniel is cast in the den, and the king leans over and he tells him, "Your God, whom you serve continually, will deliver you." I mean, put yourself in that position, right? The king tried. He tried all day. He was sorrowful. He was sad. He leaned over and he talked to Daniel. And then they put that stone. And then it tells us that the king went home that night. But the point we're talking about here, we're trying to make, is that this impact that Daniel left on the king was the reason why he was feeling this way. It was Daniel's Christ-like attitude that was working, God used to work in the king's heart. The king tried to save Daniel, as we know, but with much labor. But eventually he couldn't. So basically he ordered Daniel to be cast in the den. And as I said, that we could infer from the text that the king went with them to execute Daniel. He was talking to him before they cast him. So if you think about him saying, leaning and saying, "Your God will deliver you, Daniel," he gave him words of encouragement. Think about what happened when chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar was mad at those three teens that they did not worship his statue. What did he say? He told them that no God is going to deliver you out of my hand. But we can see that Darius was different. He told Daniel, your God, whom you serve continually, will deliver you. As you can see, the king has the knowledge of God in this situation. But the question remains, did he believe in God? We'll see. So here is a question for you. You all imagining now that Daniel is being cast, those lions are roaring and walking around, and boom, Daniel comes down. We talked about the king, right? The king was there. He was feeling sorry. But the question to you is, do you think Daniel was afraid? I don't know. But I know from chapter 11, in chapter 10, Daniel had a vision. He was standing by the river, and he saw a vision. The other three people with him did not see it. But in the beginning of chapter 11, it tells us that the angel of the Lord visited Daniel in the first year of Cyrus, the king. So it tells us in chapter 11, verse 1, that in the first year of Darius the Mede, sorry, not Cyrus, Darius, the angel is saying that, I stood up to confirm and to strengthen Daniel. Seems like the Lord knew. Of course, the Lord knew, but the Lord, in his plan, sent his angel to strengthen Daniel to prepare him for that situation. It doesn't mean that Daniel wasn't afraid, but Daniel knew that God will come through. Even if he did not rescue him, he knew and believed that God is the only good God, the only faithful, the only true living God. That's why Daniel committed himself to his will. He rested in the fact that his life belongs to God. God can do whatever he wants with it. And brothers and sisters, the question to us tonight, do we commit ourselves to God's will and rest in his care in our trials? Daniel couldn't help it. He was just going to be thrown in the den, and he was thrown in the den. He may have been afraid, but the difference that would made all the difference is he trusted in the Lord. Daniel knew God's word. He knew that God is a faithful God. Daniel had his prayer life and studying God's word that he had at that time. He knew from Deuteronomy 7:9, the Bible said, therefore, know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. Daniel knew God is the faithful God. From Deuteronomy 32:4, he also knew that he is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are justice, a God of truth, and without injustice, righteous and upright is he. Daniel knew also that God's faithfulness is unfailing. From Exodus 34:6, it tells us that, and the Lord passed before him, before Moses, and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth. And in some translations, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Daniel was a faithful testimony for Christ, for God, but also God is faithful to his faithful servant. Daniel also knew from Psalm 34, the angel of the Lord encampeth all around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Maybe Darius was not a believer, but at least he knew that Daniel's God is faithful and that he will deliver his servant who worship him. Most unbelievers think their God is a deliverer if they have one. but not someone else's God, right? But the reason Darius thought that Daniel's God is faithful is because of the impact that he had seen in Daniel's life. And we can see that he leaned forward and, you know, he just say what he said to Daniel to encourage him, which was different from what Nebuchadnezzar did to the three teens. Well, what happened after throwing Daniel in the den, the king went home, right? Daniel in the den, the king went home. So that night, we have two people, one in the den, one in the palace, but we know one of them had a good night and one of them did not have a good night. And the one who had a good night is Daniel. So basically, the one who did not have a good night is the king. King goes to the palace, has all comfort. He did not want to have any food, no music, refused any kind of entertainment. The Bible tells us, actually, nothing is more unpleasing than songs sung to a heavy heart. He abstained from food, sleep escaped him. He shut himself off. I wonder when he was in his bed if he ever uttered his first words of prayer to that God of Daniel. Maybe. Daniel's life impacted the king. And two, Daniel's faith impacted the king's faith. If he had faith, of course, you know, we don't know, but at least we can see from the evidence that is in the text. In verses 19 to 20, the king went to the den early. He got up in the morning and he ran to the den to see if Daniel was alive. Wait, this is a situation where it doesn't have if, right? These are like 10, 15 lions roaring around. And the expectation is what? Is Daniel will be pancake very quick. It's not going to take time. But the king thought, he ran in the morning to see what happened. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel and said, "Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you?" Darius was remorseful. He was guilty. He knew Daniel is a righteous man. Daniel's faith and testimony were basically why Daniel is in trouble. His faith and testimony were known across the whole kingdom. Everyone knew Daniel follows the Lord. Well, we know from Brother Harry's passage last week about Daniel's testimony, right? In verse 3 and verse 4, it tells us that he would distinguish himself above all the governors. It tells us that he was faithful and trustworthy, handled his duties in a faithful way. He did not use his position to profit. And also it tells us that they could not find any error or fault found in him. He was neither corrupt nor negligent in performing his duties. Everyone knew this guy, he's a God's guy. He is the follower of God. You can see it in his words. You can see it in his life. You can see it in his work ethics. But the question is, why did the king go to the den early in the morning? Because he was hoping that Daniel's God would come through and reverse what he had done. That's the only reason. He was just hoping that God would reverse what he did. Do you consider that faith? The question is, what is faith? From the book of Hebrews, we know that faith is the substance of things hoped for. And the word substance is assurance. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Maybe Darius believed in Daniel's God, or maybe he started to believe in Daniel's God. He called Daniel the servant of the living God. He must have seen it and learned that Daniel is a servant, is a worshiper of the living God. The term is a living God is really interesting. If God is living, is the living God, what's the other gods? They're all dead, right? They're nothing. So it's amazing testimony that Darius was able to pronounce these words and think of them. The king cried out at the den, "Has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions?" He must have read the story, or where he was familiar with the story in chapter 3. Because you remember how the three teens answered Nebuchadnezzar in chapter 3? They said, "If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand." That's similar terms. Darius said, "Has your God been able to deliver you?" Teens, the three teens said the same thing to Nebuchadnezzar. "Our God will deliver us from your hand." Daniel's faith may have planted a seed of faith in Darius's heart. I really pray that Daniel's character would be a great example for us to follow, that people around us will be impacted by our life, and their faith would be impacted by our faith. But not only that, God's deliverance had an impact on the impact of God's deliverance to his faithful. What happened? There was joyful news. When the king came to in the morning and he yelled at Daniel, "Are you still alive?" Daniel said to the king, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you." Now the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him because he believed in God. So the king goes in the morning, and after he yells at Daniel and he asks a question. And remember, there was a big stone over it, right? And lions roaring and all that. But then he yells his question, and here comes his answer from the den. And Daniel, in a very strong voice, comes through the stone and the cover, and he said, "My God has sent his angel to shut the lion's mouth." I can hear Daniel's voice clear and strong, someone who had a good night of sleep or rest, from under the stone, affirming and encouraging the king's little faith. Daniel had never had a better night in his life. He enjoyed the fellowship with the Lord all night, and he had seen his power, God's power, controlling those fiercest animals. We can see the angels also, the king, Daniel, but also there is a role here we cannot ignore. The angels' readiness to minister to the saints, as Hebrews 1:14 tell us, "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who will inherit salvation?" Daniel didn't vindicate himself. He just gave God the glory. He said, "I was found innocent before God, and that what matters the most to him." But the king was exceedingly glad for him. And that's a natural result. When we have good impact, our faithful testimony, it will impact other people. They will rejoice. It causes other people to rejoice. So Mark 9 tells us, while all things are possible for God, all things are possible to him who believes. However, very importantly, it doesn't happen always this way, does it? Do all faithful people who go through trial get rescued and delivered? Isaiah believed in God too, but he got sewn in half. Paul believed in God. His head was cut off. Peter believed in God. He got crucified upside down. The issue is, we should accept God's will. If it is to live, it is to live. If it is to die, it is to die. But in either case, God will use it for his glory. When we serve God faithfully, we impact the lives of others around us. But not only that, when we serve God faithfully, God will be honored. And that's the rest of our section chapter here today. If we can read together from verses 24 to the end. And the king gave the command, and they brought those men who had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces before they ever came to the bottom of the den. Then King Darius wrote to all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble and fear before God of Daniel, the God of Daniel. And for he is the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure to the end. He delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. Who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions? So Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. When we serve God faithfully, God will be honored. One, by judging the wicked. And two, by conversion of the believers. And three, by blessing, by exalting the faithful. As we can see in verse 24, the king commanded they bring all those who accused Daniel. And I am sure they had to tie them or to do something to them. Daniel was brought up from the den. Those who accused Daniel falsely with their families were thrown in the den. And just in case someone thinks that those lions were in the den, they were kind of fat, lazy, and not hungry, and that's why they did not hurt Daniel. When all these people were thrown in, they did not even touch the bottom of the den when they broke their bones. Daniel's accuser fell in the pit where they dug with their own hands. Their feet were caught in the same snare they laid for Daniel. We can learn God not only vindicates the righteous and delivers them from their enemies, he also delivers their enemies to the judgment they deserve. God is honored when we serve him faithfully by judging the wicked. But also, God is honored by converting the unbelievers. The king, King Darius, he wrote this declaration. He wrote that everyone in my dominion will fear and tremble before the God of Daniel. And he counted for reasons. He gave all the reasons in verse 26. The king was impressed by the miracle that he issued a decree ordering all the people to revere the God of Daniel. And he gives the reasons. He said, for he is Yahweh, the living eternal God, whose sovereignty will never end. Daniel accusers, what was their purpose? To take Daniel, throw him in the den, get rid of that God testimony, God light. They wanted to get rid of it. But guess what? God used it to even expand his glory and his kingdom. Daniel's accuser intended in their wrath to wipe out the light of God's testimony in Babylon. God turned their wickedness to his glory. The question is, well, if miracles like this glorify God, and everyone comes to know who Yahweh is. Why can't God do miracles all the time? Make miracles for them in our situations. God uses miracles during special times to authenticate the work through his prophets and apostles. But God doesn't usually work this way normally. God doesn't perform miracles to just to show off power. God wants to show to the lost world that he is the true living God, that only he should be worshipped. Brothers and sisters, our salvation is the greatest miracle. And God wants to work through us. The book of 2 Corinthians tells us that we are the earthen vessel, that a cheap vessel. So the power would not be of us, but the excellence of power would be of God. God wants to use a faithful servant. You might think, I don't see my testimony as it changing the world as Daniel. Let me encourage you that Daniel's to get to that point to bring the whole nation to know who God is. It took him 80, 90 years of faithfulness to the Lord. So don't underestimate what God can do with your light, your trials, and your faithfulness to him. The account of Daniel in the den is a lesson for us to learn how to deal with our trials in life through prayer. Daniel's prayer life is a rebuke and encouragement for us today. But also, God will be honored by exalting his faithful. Verse 28 tells us that Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius or Cyrus, the Medo-Persian kingdom. Daniel was elevated to the second highest position in the land, and he received great honor among the people and was blessed in material ways. Psalm 84:11 tell us, the Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will be withheld from those who walk uprightly. If we can conclude with these points that we can learn from Daniel's life, through chapter 6 only, we find that Daniel was an example of godliness. Verse 5 tells us, we shall not find any, when they wanted to hold Daniel, find something about Daniel. It says, they said, we shall not find any charge against Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God. That was the charge. He was an example of godliness. He was an example of prayer. Now, verse 10, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went to home, and in the upper room with his window open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. Daniel was an example of godliness. Daniel was an example of prayer. But also, he was an example in trial. When he knew that the king gave the command in verse 16, they brought Daniel and cast him in the den of lions. But the king spoke, saying, your God, whom you serve continually, will deliver you. I really pray that would be the testimony of people around us at work, in neighborhoods, that they know when we go in trials, that we would not waste the trials, but we let the light shine and our faithfulness to God to show and to be clear to other people. But also he was a good example in testimony in verses 16 and 20. The king came with a lamenting voice and said, servant of the living God, has your God whom you serve continually been able to deliver you? He was an example in testimony. And the result, that he was delivered, verse 22, and he was honored, verses 26, 27. God was honored, verse 26 and 7. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, because you are a great God. You are a faithful God. And yet, you desire to use us. You desire to spread your glory through us. You want our small light to be used to tell the world, the lost world, about you, the only living God. Lord, I pray Daniel's example would impress on our hearts that we would walk faithfully with you, that we would draw close to you, Lord, and that our testimony to people around us would be honoring to you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Bethel Baptist Church is a family made up of people from very different backgrounds and from every age group. But we all have one thing in common. We have found a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ.
When a person discovers how to have a genuine relationship with God, they're given a sense of purpose and meaning in life. When that same person belongs to a loving community where God's word is taught, they will grow in their relationship with the Lord, and their life grows in purpose and meaning.
Our focus is on making and building disciples for God's glory. We accomplish this through corporate worship on Sunday mornings, through adult Bible studies where we learn God's word and how to effectively apply it to our lives, and through our discipleship home groups that meet in various locations throughout the region. Additionally, there are one-on-one and couple-to-couple counseling and discipleship opportunities. We genuinely desire to help you grow spiritually any way we possibly can.
Our children's ministries are extremely important to us. We have a lot of young families with children, and we believe in the importance of teaching truth to the next generation. Teachers and nursery workers will be available to introduce themselves and assist you in signing your children in and out of their classrooms.
Bethel Baptist Church is a growing, loving family community.
We hope that we've been able to show you a small glimpse of what Bethel is like.
But we'd love to meet you personally. Join us for a worship service, a small group, or Bible study. Let us be a blessing to you and your family.